song, Happiness is the Lord. I also enjoyed the congregation song, Jesus Never Fails. What a wonderful song there, and a wonderful reminder. Let's go ahead and get in our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter number 5. And last Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about having a 40-day challenge of getting into our Bible reading and our prayer life. And there's, if you were not here last Wednesday night, you can hear the message online, and there are some notebooks in the back to help you with that. But the Lord kind of led me to speaking tonight a little bit about helping us with our walk with God. And I began considering different people that had great relationships with God, or the Bible speaks about special relationships in the Bible that God had with certain people. And don't get me wrong, God's not a respecter of persons, but as we draw nigh unto God, God draw nigh unto us, and I honestly believe that we're as close today to God as we want to be. And it's not him that's saying, hey, that's, I don't want to go any farther. God is willing and God is interested in having a closer relationship and closer fellowship with you. And so as I consider some different people in the Bible that had really what I thought was special relationships, and maybe after church you can tell me a few that you came up with. I thought about Abraham, was called the friend of God in the Bible, and that's something that, you know, that many people might say, well, God's my friend, but to be called the friend of God is something that is for him as a title. I think about Mary of Bethany and the special relationship that she had there with the anointing of Christ and the testimony that was there. I think about Moses talking about as he talked with God, as if he was talking to someone face to face, the relationship there. David came to mind, a man after God's own heart. Mary Magdalene, and we've talked a little bit about Mary Magdalene in the past, the first one at the tomb, recognizing Christ, call her name. I think about Paul and the relationship he must have had, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And I wonder, as I was looking at this, Enoch here is the person we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. He was clarified as the person who walked with God, person who pleased the Lord, pleased God. And so tonight, when I think about Enoch's walk, it kind of gave me some encouraging thoughts when it came along with our walk. And what is our walk like? I wonder how close we are to God tonight. And on Tuesday in our senior luncheon, I gave some different resources about how the Bible helps us with our prayer lives. And if you're interested in those notes, I'd be able to help you, because I want to help you in these 40 days. And you say, Pastor, it's a really busy time. It is a really busy time. But if we're too busy to pray, then there's a problem. Because the busier we are, the more that we need prayer, the more that we need God in our hearts. And I wonder how much do we really spend with him? The people that we're close with are usually the people we spend the most time with. The people we know best are the people we spend the most time with. And many times people think that they can be a strong Christian and a strong believer and not spend time with God. I think they're fooling themselves. It's just as us, if we never spent time with someone, we never get to know them, we're not going to have a close relationship with them. Now, there are people who we can enjoy, but at the same time, doesn't mean that we enjoy them as much as we can. When considering relationships, there are people that we are closer with than others. There are some people out there we wish we knew better. Brother Faulkner, I've only met a few times in our lives. Brother Faulkner used to be a member at Immanuel Baptist Church in Edenton, and he was under Pastor Randy Browder there for a number of years. And he used to come out and beat us at softball. He was one of those guys. Their church family would come, the men would come, and they would usually beat us at softball. And I don't know him that well, but at the same time, he's someone as far as this time I spent with him, I wouldn't mind getting to know him better. Now, there's other people out there that you know really well that you wish you didn't know as well as you do. People you rather not really spend time with, but sometimes you're stuck there. Sometimes people think of their in-laws that way. Sometimes they call them outlaws. You know, Brother Dave Barnhouse always jokes about his mother-in-law. Thankfully, I have a really good mother-in-law, and I don't mind spending time with her at all. So if she's listening tonight to the online, then maybe I'll get some points for that. often, the reality is some people you have an instant connection with. Sometimes you walk up to somebody and they think like I do, they act like something you just have in common. Some people you just feel, and you sit there and you talk and you spend hours. Sometimes we go to camp, and even this past time at Tennessee, you see certain people. There's sometimes a girl and a girl just, they act like they're best friends. Can't get them to stop talking. Sometimes you don't have that connection. Sometimes you're walking around just kind of wondering, you know, what should I say next? You're sitting at a table across from somebody at a lunch, and you're like, I should really be talking, but I really don't have any common interests. Now, if you're a Christian, everybody has common interests around Christ, but some people just don't really have a connection with. Often the same is true with our relationship with the Lord. In the moment that we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within our hearts, but often we are so busy with life that we don't even acknowledge Him. And our walk with Him is something that we need to do, but we don't acknowledge it. We don't wake up each day saying, Lord, I want to walk with You. I want to spend time with You today. But in our passage of Scripture today, we actually see someone, the Bible says, walked with the Lord. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 5. Let's look in verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. So we see he was 65 years old when he was begat his son. And it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So once he had a son, he realized he needed to pray more. So some people understand what that means is when you have, and but something happened in his life to help him understand the importance of his walk with God. Now, does that happen sometimes? Yes. Sometimes there's life-changing events that happen that cause us to pay attention to our walk with God and say, you know what? I need to walk more with Him. I need to be closer to Him. The difference between God speaking to our hearts and us making decisions at an altar that may last, hopefully forever, but normally lasts only for a short period of time, look at Enoch's walk with God continued. It says in verse number 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So it was not just something that was a, okay, I have a son. I know now I need to get things right, need to get things straight, need to be right. No, it's something it said that he continued on. It was a constant walk for 300 years. And all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Many of us know and understand, we'll look a little bit later on, another passage of Scripture that speaks about how God, he was translated up to heaven. He was walking with God one day, and he actually went to be with the Lord on that same day. Did not face death, at least not yet. And what a wonderful story about walking with God. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight as we talk about Enoch's walk with God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Help us to understand some truths that's found here. Lord, if we walk out of this place saying, I want my relationship to be stronger with God, I want to be closer, I want to walk with Him, Lord, You've done something in our hearts. If we walk out this place saying, oh, I heard something about a guy that I've heard about many times before and missed the whole point of that You're trying to do in our hearts, is that we need to take our walk seriously. And to just kind of take a look over these next 40 days of what our walk is like and how close we are and how much time we really spend in the Word, how much time we really spend in prayer. And Lord, kind of to start our hearts about being more serious with our walk with God. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, challenge us tonight. Help us to see our relationship and the potential we have in You and to understand and believe the importance of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through the book of Ephesians on and off now for a little while, and I'm sure we'll get back to it on Wednesday night some, but it's how much we have in Christ. If we're in Christ, we have so much. But if we don't develop a relationship with God, we'll never truly understand how much value we have in Him. It's amazing. You can know all these doctrines of the Bible, but if you don't have a close personal relationship with God, there's the application that we're missing. Yeah, we might be able to apply it to someone else, but God's trying to apply those truths to our own heart. God wants those things to take effect in our own lives. And if we have the Holy Spirit of God that we're walking with and letting Him teach us and tell us those things, is something that we can grow in our faith and how close we are to Him. So let's look a little bit at Enoch's walk with God. First of all, you think about his walk with God, his name gives us a hint. The name Enoch means dedicated. For him to have a special relationship with God, he had to be dedicated to it. First point I want you to think about tonight is Enoch's relationship. Enoch's relationship. To really truly know someone, you have to have some type of relationship. It may be a husband and wife relationship, son and a father, or brother, sister. But to have a relationship is when you really truly get to know somebody personally. Now, when it comes to relationships, we're thankful that through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with God. Praise the Lord for that. We can have a relationship with God the Father. The Bible talks about how we're enemies of the Lord and how we are separated from God. And He is just our creator. But because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, He gave us an opportunity. He gave us a way to become the children of God, sons and daughters of God. And we can have a relationship with Him. We can have a relationship of fellowship and reconciliation. But it's when we consider our walk with God and we consider Enoch's walk with God, it's not just Enoch's relationship. Enoch had an abiding relationship with God. He had an abiding relationship with God. It wasn't just any relationship. It was one that was abiding. He walked with God. You say, well, how do you know it was abiding? Because it actually says here that he is someone, he in verse 24, he walked with God. And if you walk with someone, you're going to have to be there and you're going to have to encounter them and keep up with them. You think about it, it's not just an accidental encounter. Sometimes relationships are that way. Sometimes you go up and you meet somebody at a store and wasn't planning on it, wasn't any dedicated about it. You just went up there, you start talking to someone, and it maybe it was from an accident, or maybe it was a chance or a happenstance that you got to meet someone and you got to know someone, and because of that, you started a new relationship. That's not the way it worked out for God in our relationship. God, before the foundation of the world, loved us, and He knew what we were going to have a need, and God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, Jesus taught this to His disciples, He says, if you really truly want the power of God, if you really truly want to walk with Me, you're going to have to abide in Me. It says in John 15:4, abide in Me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. So if we truly want to settle down in the Lord and we truly want to walk with God, it's something that's called an abiding relationship. The only way we get into this relationship with God is by faith. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So you say, Pastor, Enoch was in the Old Testament, and that was thousands of years before Jesus came. And we look back and we say that we're saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. How can Enoch be the same way? It's by faith. The Bible says in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It was faith back then and the future of Jesus coming and the believing in of a Savior and seeing that, just as it's faith that we look back at what Christ did. He believed in God. And because, why would He walk with someone He didn't believe? And so you think about it, how do you get into this relationship? It's by grace, yes, but it's through faith. Have you ever began the relationship? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart? I know it's Wednesday night, and I know there's a lot of people here that have probably been going to church for longer than I have. But the reality is, do you know Him personally? Have you ever accepted Him? And I'm not saying, have you ever just prayed a prayer? I'm saying, have you ever felt the conviction of God because of your sins, and you put your faith and trust in Him? And that you believe that Jesus died because you needed a Savior. It wasn't just going forward someday and getting somebody to say some words. It was truly understanding and calling out to God and seeing that your sin is separated and that you truly need a Savior. And that's when the relationship begins. But the relationship doesn't stop there. Or the relationship continues. It's an abiding relationship. Abide in Me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. He's saying, Jesus was telling His disciples something that Enoch knew. It's something that when you walk with someone, you have to be willing to walk with them. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, me and my wife sometimes, when we wanted to exercise, we would go walking. This is a nice little T-shape up here. You go up there and walk, and sometimes when we first got here, we used to say, okay, let's go for a walk together to get exercise. Well, I'm a little bit taller, and my legs are a little bit longer, so when I walk, I go a lot faster than my wife does. And so, after a little while, I go back, and I see her back there, and she's like, why are you going so fast? And we weren't really walking together. We were walking. We were on the same road. But in all reality, we weren't enjoying one another's company. And I had to learn that if I wanted to walk with my wife, which was much better to do than walk up there by myself, I had to stop and I had to walk at her pace. We had to agree which way we were going to go. We had to be willing to be comfortable with staying at the same pace. But we also had to agree on which way we were going to go. Not just the pace, but which way we're going to go. And you think about it, when you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to make a decision. And this decision is, I'm going to have to agree with God. Because God is not going to change. God is who he is, and he who he always is going to be, and we're thankful for that. He's God. He says he changes not. So if you're going to walk with God, it's going to have to be an abiding walk. And an abiding walk means I'm not going to get ahead of God and try to rush forward. I'm not going to run when God wants me to walk. And I'm also not going to drag my feet back here and say, I don't really want to do this. A walk with God is means that I'm binding with him, I'm relaxed in him, I am settled in him, and I'm walking at his pace for me, but I'm also headed in the direction he wants me to go. Many times if we went down to that T shape, you go down there, one person, you can go right or you can go left. And you know, if one person says, hey, I want to go left because I want to see the horses, and another person says, I want to make a right because I just want to go that way. I want to go back and see the log cabin back at the corner. You know, you're not going the same place unless you can agree where you're walking. And I want to encourage you today, with your relationship with God, it begins at salvation, but that's not where he wants it to end. He looked at his disciples who had already walked with him for how long? Remember, on John chapter 14, he's headed to the cross. They've already been with him 3.5 years. They've seen the miracles. They said all these things. And he's saying, no. Yes, you do believe. Yes, you've been trained. But now you have to stay with me. You have to abide with me. You have to continue in this walk. And it's something that if we're going to learn that we have to walk with him, it's going to be by going the same direction at the same pace. Not only is it that, and I alluded to this earlier, it's not only an abiding relationship, it is a constant relationship. It is a constant relationship. He walked with God after the birth of his son, as we saw and we already had mentioned, but he did it for 300 years after that. It wasn't just some type of accidental chance meeting. He met with God each and every day. He went to walk with God every day. It gets continued for 300 years afterwards. Now, when we're talking about our relationship with God, and we're talking about our growth with God, and we're talking about how close we are, it's going to have to be something that is constant. So many times I've seen people that want to start their walk, as we talked about this 40-day challenge. Okay, I'm going to do it for 40 days, and they start off for a few days, and then they stop, and they say, oh, no, I've done what I'm supposed to. I've read how one person said, don't treat God like a last resort, and also don't treat God like a 911 operator. And what does that mean? It means, hey, there's a problem. So now I have to renew this relationship with God. And as I renew this relationship with God, I want God to fix it. I want God to take care of the problem. He's someone I want to hire in order to do that. Now, there are some people in the world that we probably will not see unless we have to. One of those people for me is the dentist. You know, I have a relationship with my dentist. I don't really enjoy my relationship with my dentist. Now, my dentist is someone who I see when I have a problem. He said, Pastor, you're supposed to get your teeth clean, whatever. Yeah, I do that. I see the hygienist. She helps me with that. But when I see the dentist, that means that there's a problem. There's something they need to fix. And to be honest with you, the only time I ever call the dentist is when there's a problem and when there's something that's a real problem, because if not, I just pretty much don't want to even acknowledge that they're alive, because I hate going to the dentist. I hate what they do to me, and then they make me pay them to do that to me. And it's just ridiculous. It's wrong. And it said, I don't want to treat God that way, do I? I don't want to look at God and say, hey, God, when there's a problem and when there's an issue, now I want to go approach you. I want to go say, hey, God, I want you to fix my problem. Things have gotten so bad and things have gotten so hard and things have gotten so wrong. I can't do this myself. I'm going to have to go to you and ask you. That's not the way that it's a constant relationship. We walk with him. You know, if I have a need or a problem, things we share with those that are close to me. I share things with my wife that, you know, when there's something going on. And I don't just do it when there's an issue or a problem. I do it when things are good and I do it when things are bad. It's because it's someone I see every day. It's someone I fellowship with every day. Someone I enjoy every day. And same thing with God. You know, I get up in the morning and I want to spend time in his word. I want to spend time in prayer. I want to get my mind, heart, and my set and right that, hey, I'm going the direction God wants me to go today. And I'm not only am I going to go that direction, I'm going to go the pace he wants me to go. You're not going to get that unless you get in the Bible. You're not going to get that unless you understand. You're not going to know what he wants unless you talk with him. First thing is Enoch's relationship. Second thing is Enoch's relinquishment. If you're going to walk with God, there might be some things you have to give up. Now, think about it. Relationships are work. Now, I know sometimes young people fall in love and everything's all great and fantastic and wonderful and nobody ever disagrees with anybody and everything's perfect and they never have an argument and never have a fight. That's not reality. Truth is, you take one person that is a sinner and that has a sin nature, and you take another person who is a sinner and a sin nature, and sometimes they're going to disagree. Now, once again, as you grow closer to God, you're going to go closer to one another, but sometimes there are certain things you have to give up, certain things you have to relinquish in order to make your walk closer and make your walk something that is even closer than others. Relationships can be a hard work, and sometimes there are certain things that you have to give up in order to make that happen. And so I'm not saying Enoch here had anything he had to give up, but I know what it is for my walk with God. Sometimes as I'm walking with him, there's certain things that holds me back. Hebrews chapter number 12 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." And if we're going to walk with God, there's sometimes certain things that are going to hold us back. Sometimes they're sins. Sometimes there are something in there, and we learned before, and we've said it often, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear you. So if there's a sin there, there's something that has broken that fellowship. But a weight is something that a runner would take off that was going to slow them down. If you were getting ready to run in a race and you had this heavy jacket on, probably one of the first things you're going to do is take the heavy jacket off. And you're going to make yourself weigh less so that way you can run faster. Anything wrong with wearing a jacket? No, there isn't. But there is something that can slow you down. Sometimes there are certain things in our life that you may say, I have liberty to do this. But in all reality, maybe you have liberty, but at the same time, is it helping you in your walk? Are you still walking with him? When I got married, I had a passion for sports, and I've told you that before a little bit, and there's for a period of time when God was calling and getting my heart right, I give up sports altogether. And for a little while, and you know, there's some things I had to relinquish, some things I had to say, no, this was a weight. This was something that was causing me in my walk with God not to be there. Sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's a hobby, sometimes it is a special interest. And sometimes even we can put a wrong spot for a church ministry and for our family. Sometimes it can be good things. All those things are good, and they have their proper place and their proper perspective, but we must make sure that nothing replaces our walk with God. If we abide in him, that's when we're going to produce fruit. When we are walking with him at his pace and going his direction, that is when we're going to see God working in our heart. So I wonder, how close are we to God tonight? Are we trusting in him? It's an ongoing walk. So if we're going to walk with God, we need to trust in his timing. We need to trust in his timing. So if we see Enoch's relinquishment, we need to trust in the timing of God. As I mentioned earlier, Enoch did not run with God. Enoch walked with God. And the society that we live in today, there's a lot of people out there that hate to wait. But the Bible says, wait is something that we should do on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Micah 7:7 says, therefore I will look unto the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And some people, they walk with God for many years, and they stop walking with him because they get discouraged. They don't get their prayers answered like they should. They feel like they've missed everything, and everything got messed up. But we have to wait on God's timing. If God says, hey, I want you to hold here for a little while, you say, no, I want to keep on going this way. When you start walking that way, no longer are you walking with him. Instead, you're walking away from him. Imagine if you're saying, hey, I want to go this direction. God says, I want you to go this direction. You are not only not walking with him, you're going the complete opposite way. And it's something we must remember to wait on his timing. We should pursue God's calling in our lives. Enoch relinquished his own timing for God's timing. To walk with God is something that we must learn to say, okay, God, whatever it is that you want. Not only is it we're walking together, but we also must realize that we need to go God's way. You're not going to change God's mind. Sometimes people have said, you know, they pray like this, I'm going to get my will done in heaven. That's not what prayer is at all. Prayer is God's getting his will done on this earth. as we pray before God and we say, God, I want to walk with you, and God, I'm going to convince you. I want you to do this for me. No. What do we learn from our theme this year? If we delight in the Lord, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. It's not getting God to delight in the things that we want him to delight in. It's us saying, God, we delight in you. And as we delight in you, we want to go your path and we want to go to your way. Not only are we going to be willing to relinquish our own timing and how we think things should happen, we're going to be willing to relinquish our own desires and what we think you should do and say, God, what is your will? What is the way you want me to go? Do you want to go down the T? Do you want to see the horses first, or do you want to see the log cabin first? And we got to remember to pursue God's calling in our life. Matthew chapter number 4 in verses 18 through 20, we think about when Peter and Andrew were called into the ministry. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Many of us have something in our hearts and something in our lives that we think we should be doing. Especially the young person thinks, okay, this is my future. This is what I want to do. This is exciting. Are you willing to say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do? Peter and Andrew were called to go into a ministry to follow after Jesus. They had no idea what it was going to cost them. They had no idea what it was going to mean. But instead, they said, okay, there is someone who I know I need to follow. There is someone who I know I am willing to leave my nets behind. I'm willing to leave my business behind. I'm willing to leave my family behind because I want to follow after God's plan and God's will. So if we truly want to walk with God, we got to understand relationship. We got to be in the relationship first. And we got to say it's an abiding relationship. It's a constant relationship. But also, is there something I'm going to have to give up? Enoch, it says in 5:24, walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That word took gives the idea of taking one's hand. So it almost implies that God took Enoch by hand, escorting him from earth to heaven. Instead of facing death, Enoch was instantly translated into heaven. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This idea of translate, it's talking about to transpose two things, one which was put in one place of the other, to transfer, to change. So he was taken from earth up into heaven, and he just continually walked with him. One old preacher used to put it this way, that he walked with God all the time, and one day as he was walking, God looked to him and says, hey, look, we're a little bit closer to my place than your place, and he just took him up to heaven. And I know that's not scriptural. It kind of gives you the idea there that he's that close with the Lord. He says, hey, instead of going back home, why don't you just come up and spend some time with me? And walking with God. So not only is Enoch is a relinquishment when it comes to that and believing in God's timing. We think about God's timing and we think about the future and we think about someday we are going to be transposed during the tribulation period. If we're here during the rapture, and when the rapture happens, that we will be instantly up into heaven. Last but not least, you say, well, Pastor, why in the world was Enoch's relationship different than ours? I like to think I walk with God, but I also know I don't pray like I should. I don't read my Bible like I should. And many times I have to say, I'm sorry, and get back on track. What's the difference? Why is Enoch's relationship and Enoch willing to relinquish these things? Where am I struggling? Last but not least is Enoch's reliance. What a sweet and special relationship Enoch had with God. Why is that? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him before his translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that nice? It says that he actually pleased God with his life. I don't know about you, there's not a lot of things I care about what people say when I die. Obviously, I don't want people to say bad things, but I don't really care because I only live for the Lord. But I like to leave a testimony behind, and one of those things I like to be said of me is that he lived a life that he loved the Lord, and he tried to please him. I don't care about things that are built. I don't care about, I want God to do whatever he wants to in my life and whatever God wants to do in our life in this church here. We ask God to do great things. We ask and we seek that. But the Bible says that Enoch please God. Now, how does he do that? The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we do not have faith, we are not pleasing God. If we are not living a life of faith, it's saying that we don't please him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now think about this. By faith, it's impossible to please God without faith. So what does God tell us in his word? Does he tell us we should pray? He does. Not only does he tell us we should pray, he tells us we should pray constantly. Well, they use the word pray without ceasing. But it's a constant walk, a constant relationship. It's constantly with God in my mind and God in my heart, and I'm walking with him, letting him make the decisions, talking to him about the things that are going on. He is a constant prayer. Does he tell us to do that? Or is it something that preachers make up? It's in there. And he not only says it, and he not only does he tell us that we should pray, he tells us that we should read his word. And once again, it's not just read his word. It's read his word, meditate in his word, memorize his word, and give his word out. So if it's impossible for me to please him unless I have faith, and my faith is found in what the word says, that means that my prayer life, the things that we're trying to work on, my prayer life and my Bible reading, if I do not do those things, that means I'm not living a life of faith, because he's asked me to do it. He's not just saying, this would be good if you want to be a good Christian, if you want to grow stronger, because it does all those things. They are commandments that are found in the Bible that tells us that we should pray and what we should do with the word of God. So when we choose not to do those things, then we also choose not to rely on him. You say, oh, pastor, I am trusting God for everything. You ever met somebody like that? You know, we go door knocking some. And they said, man, I'm trusting God to take care of my needs. But, you know, you ask them, they haven't been in church for years. They haven't given to the church. They don't serve. And they said, no, God's going to take care of me. And I'm thinking, you know, why? I mean, where does he say that in his word? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Can God? Yes. Does God? Yes, sometimes. But at the same time, Enoch relied on God. He was committed to that. And think about it. Enoch's reliance gave him a testimony. That testimony was that he pleased the Lord. When you rely on the Lord, you're going to have a good testimony over time. Sometimes it might not work, and sometimes the wrong people might think you have the wrong testimony, but it develops a testimony. And the Bible tells us, let your light shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jude 14 and 15 says this about Enoch. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lamb cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of our ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, it means that he talked to people that were ungodly? Yes. You know, in this day, in this testimony, and we see that the next chapter talks about Noah. It talks about how God destroys the world with the flood because of the wickedness of the day and time that they lived in. It was in that time and in that area, in that society, that Enoch walked with God. Now, we can have that testimony. I want to walk with God. It's hard, Pastor. Don't you see what's on TV today? Don't you see what's around everywhere? Don't you see all the problems? I don't know what things were like back in Enoch's day, but I think they were pretty bad if God had destroyed the world with a flood. Is it as bad as it is today? I don't know. I can't. I know God's promised he's not going to destroy a flood, but I know he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire because of their wickedness and their sin. And I want to encourage you tonight that you can rely on God, and it will help you develop a testimony. But most importantly, you can please God. I don't know about you, in my life, I want to please him with what I do. Once we've been saved, we please God by trusting him day by day. We trust him. And so let's go back to how's my walk with God? Are we headed in the same direction as God? Are we going at the same pace as God? Are we waiting on him? Are we doing it by faith? And once again, it comes here. You know, he says we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to read. And we could use a lot of examples. We could use serving, we could use giving. But our focus is, am I spending time with him each and every day? Because as I grow closer and closer to him, that means by faith, I'm trusting in you, Lord, to give me what I need. A couple preachers put it this way. Matthew Henry said, talking about Enoch, says, this was a constant care and work. While others lived to themselves and the world, he lived to God. It was the joy of his life. Another preacher put it this way. It is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God. Spend plenty of time with him. Let other things go, but don't neglect God. Now, Enoch did not get this relationship because he was a good person. He didn't get into this relationship because he was better than the other billions that were there in the world that time. He didn't. He got in that relationship because of his faith. And then he built that relationship by being constant and by continuing on and by being faithful, saying, God, I want to walk with you today, and I'm going to spend time with you, and I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let you guide me. You know, sometimes we think that there's people in the Bible that are super Christians. Like we read earlier about, we talked about earlier, some of those people that had special relationships. Think about Abraham, you know, was called out of Ur. We think about David, the shepherd boy. We think about Moses, the guy that was put in a river that could have been killed. You know, we think about John the Beloved, a fisherman. Mary of Bethany, just someone that, you know, just a friend of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, one that had seven demons. Saul, that used to kill Christians, that became Paul. We think about all those people, and we're like, they're just special. They had something that we can't have. Most of those were the Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit with them even. We had the Holy Spirit of God that prompts us, that leads us. We have the completed Word of God. None of them had that. We have access to him through prayer. A lot of them didn't have that. They had to go through that high priest. Obviously, they could talk with God, but you know, there are so many things we have that we can have our strength in our relationship today. We are as close to God today as we want to be. I don't know about you, but I want to be closer. And part of the reason why we're doing this and the reason why I'm trying to do this is because I want to do better. And as I see our hearts and I see our spirits, are we close to God like we want to be? I know that there's sometimes I see people that walk with God and I don't lift them up, but inside my heart I say, boy, there's someone who walked with God for years. Sometimes when you just meet someone, you talk to them and you see them, you know that they've spent time with God, that they're someone who's close to God. You can see God is on them and God is working through them and God has used them. And you're like, how do you get that? So you walk with him, like Enoch. He learned to walk with God. I wonder how many of us walk with him. I wonder how many of us really want to walk with him. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us tonight, that we have a greater desire to want to be closer to him and to let him lead us and direct us. When it comes to our prayer time and our Bible reading, two of the key factors that determine how close we are to God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.